Hey, how you doing? Thanks for hitting the play button on Garden Fork. It's me, Eric, your host. Today, I'm going to let you behind the curtain. All right, this is the after part of the show. This is where we let the Garden Fork patrons behind the curtain.
Where we get to let our hair down.
Yeah. That was such tension there, new and used tractors.
Right. You guys know all the things about tractors, so.
Well, I got all excited. I'm like, oh, Erin's going to buy a tractor. Let's help her.
Spend her money.
Yeah, well, let's make that happen.
I will say, don't rule out buying something new.
No, there's a weird sound in the back of your microphone, though. Were you banging the mic again?
No, I was not doing anything. Is it still there?
Oh, maybe it's a jet landing or something.
Oh, well, that's the Navy, just down the road. I cannot tell them to cease operations just because we have a podcast going on.
So that's Rick and I and Will, Erin, and I talking after the show. I call it the after show. It's when me and my guests have got the podcast glue moving along pretty good. Glue? Motion? I don't know. It's kind of like when you sit down and have a beer with someone or a coffee, and then after half an hour, the cool ideas just kind of come out. And usually after we record the show, we keep talking for a while. It can be 10 minutes. It could be 15, 20. And I've been recently saving those after show clips, and I thought I'd play a couple for you today with that, and then throw this out at you and see what you think. $5 a month to Garden Fork to get the after show of every podcast every month. What do you think? So I put out 3-4 podcasts a month, 3 or 4 exclusive after shows in your inbox in the Patreon app, or a custom RSS feed you can load into your podcast player. That's what I'm thinking here. So instead of this long, drawn out, kind of like PBS or NPR pitch, I'm just going to play you 2 different after shows. And afterward, I'm going to ask you for $5 again. And that'll be it. So listen to the after shows. See if you're interested. We could spend some more time together. Here we go. All right. This is the after part of the show. This is where we let the Garden Fork patrons behind the curtain.
Where we get to let our hair down.
Yeah. That was such tension there. New and used tractors.
Right. You guys know all the things about tractors, so.
Well, I got all excited. I'm like, oh, Erin's going to buy a tractor. Let's help her.
Spend her money.
Yeah, well, let's make that happen.
I will say, don't rule out buying something new. I was really surprised for us. I mean, the Kubota was, like I said, $14,000. And then the dealership is like, hey, you could buy this and it's, $140 a month for X number of months or whatever. I was like, wow. So we could get one with the actual features that we want on it. And it was no interest. So it's, for whatever reason, equipment sales companies offer all these great financing deals on them. So if it's something you're going to use a lot, that works out great. The other thing is because it holds its value, if you ever need to get out of it or whatever, you can always sell it and then use the rest of the money to pay off whatever is still owed on it. And you probably will be ahead in a lot of cases.
I will tell you, one of the things that does sound really interesting to me is because, Eric, when you're talking about all of these things that went wrong with your tractor, I'm like, oh my God, so you spend $12,000 on a tractor and then you pour another $3,000 into it on a new clutch and all these other things. It makes me a little nervous. You buy a new tractor, you pretty much know what you're in for in terms of expenses, at least in the first several years. So,
well, a simple thing to ask a person when you're thinking about buying a tractor versus buying a used or new is, how often do you change the oil in your car yourself versus take it somewhere? If you feel comfortable changing the oil in your own vehicle or doing some minor maintenance on your own vehicle, a used one is usually not. The issues that Eric's having with his tractor are probably because his tractor is fairly old. I mean, right. No offense about your tractor.
There are some other reasons, but I don't want to talk about them in public because my friends might be listening to the podcast and I still have to keep them as friends. So, Will, what some radio safe observations from your live stream about your Pinecone cabin?
A lot of people were really interested in the idea of buying one of those sheds off the side of the road and fixing it up. Like, it was like a light went off in their head. Like, I can, a lot of people came back and said, oh, I could put in insulation and I could, you know, put some paneling up on the walls and those types of things. And that seemed like DIY projects they could do. It's just the idea of hammering, you know, windows into walls and making studs and, you know, putting the sheeting on the outside and all that stuff was really daunting. But the idea of, hey, I could buy one of these and then just have to do the finishing on the inside of it, the light bulb went off and people were hounding us about, okay, well, how much did you spend on this? And how long did it take to do that? And it was like, people are kind of, it's the easy way to get a little cabin or a guest house or something like that on your property without having to go through the issues of, you know, I don't know how to frame a window. I couldn't do that. Or I don't know how to, you know, put trusses up, but I definitely know how to put wallboard and insulation in, you know, that kind of stuff. So that was probably the biggest item that everybody wanted to talk about.
And did people, cause you haven't posted video in a while. Did you tell people on like Instagram or Facebook, hey, I'm going to do a live stream, or did you just turn it on and to see what happens, or?
I posted it online that we were going to do it. And the interesting piece for us was the company that we bought it from reached out to me before I did the live show and actually after I posted it and said, hey, could we show your video to other people? Because this is pretty neat. And that, I think, actually, if you look at my stuff, I don't get a lot of traction. I mean, I get some, but I don't get thousands of people. And I think we've had 47,000 people interacting with that, all the different posts and stuff. And I don't usually see that. Well, come to find out, I had 111 shares and all of it was, you know, the premier company that makes the sheds in North Dakota posted it to all their customers and the guy in California. And it, all of a sudden all these shed companies started posting the video. And that's, I think, why we got so many people coming to the live stream was because they wanted to see and talk and ask questions about, okay, how did you do this? And why did your solar thing work this way? Or so it kind of hit a couple hot buttons for a lot of people. Like the hot ones were the solar, the finishing, and then the little wood stove were probably the biggest items that we talked the most about.
The next step is to do an online class about how to outfit your shed house.
Actually, one thing I am working on is coming up with a detailed list of like how much wallboard did we use and how much, you know, how much were the cabinets and the flooring, you know, why did we pick the stuff that we did? You know, when you're doing 100 square feet, you only need three boxes of cabinets or three boxes of flooring, I should say.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cheap, you know?
Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff that if somebody really wanted to like do that on the cheap, you know, that's where you pop onto Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace or something, and you pick up somebody's flooring that's left over from whatever project they did.
I mean, that's exactly how we got the stone for the underneath the wood stove. You know, somebody bought an 8-foot section and cut it off, and they only needed 6 feet of it, and there's this 2-foot piece left, and I'm like, I'll take it. And they're like, okay.
Yeah.
So we got it at a good deal. And I would normally not put a nice piece of Indiana limestone in there, but
it was there.
It was there and it was cheap.
Aaron, what interesting things do you have going on?
What do I have that's going on that's interesting? Well, I'm planting a new garden. I question my sanity that I'm doing this, but what is really funny is that, you know, I have big thoughts. I have big thoughts, and when it comes to reality, sometimes, well, I don't do that very well. I just stick with the big thoughts. So there's this whole area alongside the driveway that I've been looking at for several years now. And then 2 years ago, we lost an enormous ash tree there, another one to the emerald ash borer, which is where all the ash trees go to on our property and around us. So it was always sort of this natural area. And when that tree came down, and it looked like that because it was shady and you didn't really pay much attention. Well, when that tree came down, it just looked like a kind of like a weedy mess. So it's been bugging me. So that's going to happen this spring. And I have been plugging away on that design for, oh my God, like a month now. And this past weekend, I just sat down and just spent hours this weekend trying to work on that. But what's funny is that I was having a really hard time sort of creating a reasonable plant palette, so I didn't have like a billion different plants, because you know it's better when you just pick a few plants and then plant a lot of those plants.
Yep.
And I reached out to a garden YouTuber designer who I talk with occasionally, and I said, hey, how do you pare down your plant palette? And she said, well, what size area are we talking about here? I said, you know, I never did the math on this. So I go in there and I do the math and I go, oh my God, it's 5,000 square feet.
Oh.
So I have this total freak out moment. And then I say to my husband, like the next day, I look at him, I'm like, this isn't right, is it? Anyways, I redid the math. So what everyone should know is that math is not my strong suit. That's why I went into journalism. There's no math. So it turns out it's actually more like 3,200, 3,500 square feet, which is still an absolutely enormous undertaking. But it's not 5,000 square feet at least. So that was sort of a funny moment I had this weekend, because I even put a story on Instagram saying, I don't know what I'm thinking. I'm designing a 5,000 square foot garden, and I never really knew that, never even really realized that, because I wasn't thinking about that.
Yeah.
And it turns out I'm not, but it's still just as bad. So I'm going to be planting a lot of small plants, like plugs. I'm going to buy a lot of like landscape plugs that are plants that in most cases you are only really on like commercial jobs that people do that, or even garden centers will buy those and then grow them out in pots and then sell them half a year later or a year later as full grown plants. Mm-hmm. But it's the only way I'm going to be able to manage it from any sort of fiscally responsible, such as it is, standpoint. So
can I ask you one question about a project that you did last year?
You bet.
So you did the raised bed garden with the timbers. Have you had any problems with Wisconsin frost or winter, you know, knocking the timbers out or pushing them or having to have any settling or anything like that? Because we've been considering it, but I've always been concerned about, you know, is winter going to wreck them?
We've had no problems whatsoever with them, but I will say that those things are in there like they are built. So we put through this is such girl talk. Big nails.
Rebar?
They're not nails, but you know, like, it's not even, well, we did do rebar on the base. So the bottom course is all in the ground with like 18 inch rebar. So we drilled big holes and did rebar. But when we put the successive courses on top, we used like big, huge, like, you know, 9-inch long nails to go through all those. So those things are really held in there very tight. So we've not seen any settling, any changing. And this is now, so last year we went through a full winter with those boxes built. So last winter was just fine. This will be, you know, our second full winter with them. So we'll see. But there's, I was just out there the other day. There's no sign of anything changing there. So that's been fine. And we used 4x4s. And one of the reasons I wanted to use 4x4s was that our last raised bed was built with just 2x10s kind of stacked. And then we used 4x4 sort of braces. Well, those did, you know, as the soil settled in those got wider and wider and wider and sort of expanded on us a little bit, which was fine. But I'm assuming that's not going to happen with the 4x4s. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So, Eric, question for you.
Yes.
Any big suggestions you've received regarding your boat that you posted online the other day?
Yeah, two very viable solutions for the gunwale. Is it a gunwale or gunwale?
It's gunwale. I almost jumped through the screen when you said gunwale. I'm like, oh, no, don't say that. But you corrected yourself very quickly.
Yeah, there's two viable ways. One is more traditional, using thin wood, layers of thin wood that you can curve and then screw together. And the other one, which I loved, but people might be appalled by, but it's already a plastic boat, is to take 3/4-inch PVC pipe, run it through a circular saw to put a slice right down the center and snap that over the gunwale and fiberglass it in. Yeah, I know which one Aaron's going to like.
I thought my idea of just recycling it was a good one, but what do I know?
Actually, it's very hard to get rid of fiberglass boats, though. That's really the problem, is that it's really hard to get rid of stuff made of fiberglass. There's a, as fiberglass boats, they don't really die. They just sort of get chopped up and thrown in dumpsters.
Interestingly enough, actually, on the fiberglass boats, when I bought the resort, there was four of them, and they all were damaged in some way. I put them online, and all four of them went almost instantly for free. And I asked the people when they come to pick it up, what are you going to use it for? And two of the people were going to bury it partially in their yard and then make it into a planter with kind of like a shipwrecked boat with, you know, plants around it, and then fill the inside of it with dirt and then plant inside of that too. So I thought, that's neat.
I love people's creative ideas. That's such a great idea. My mom used to have a little shop that had kind of nautical gifts and gear in it. And she used an old dinghy in the middle of it as a place to keep stack all the T-shirts. It was like a T-shirt display thing. So
yeah, I guess the lady
life in
had
old boats, even if they don't float.
Yeah, the lady had a wooden one in her yard, and she said it kind of rotted away because of that in there. So the fiberglass one, she was like, "Yeah, this would be perfect. It's about the same size, and you know, it'll never rot away. So they're, you know, she'll be happy with it for many, many years."
There you go.
So I'm trying to figure out whether I should go with the PVC pipe one or with the wood. I mean, either one will work, but either one has to have fiberglass over it. And I'm like, you know, the PVC is very garden fork, very simple, use what you got kind of solution. And, you know, I'm all about simple, so.
Yeah, but really, is the wood that much more? It's not that much more work to do the wood thing, is it? And I know garden fork is all about make good with what you got, but I got it. I feel like I have to be like the style editor of garden fork.
Erin's my sister from a different mother, basically.
So basically what Erin's saying is, Eric, don't do that. It's just going to look bad. She's trying to be nice about it, but Eric, it's going to look horrible.
It is going to. Okay, listen, with all respect to whoever suggested that, it is going to. It's a good idea, but Will is 100%. It is going to look terrible.
Oh, so now I'm getting thrown under the bus on it.
Come on, you're coming under there with me, Will. But I will say this. I mean, I did notice the condition of this canoe to begin with. So it's not like, you know,
not pristine.
Unless you're planting a full overhaul? Maybe it's not that big of a deal then.
No, I just want to go in the lake down the road.
Mm-hmm. Plywood boat number three.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
I'm working on that too. It's just my new depression treatment, my homemade depression treatment seems to be working pretty good. I have the light, the seasonal affective disorder light.
Sure.
And I meditate and I exercise, and that seems to be the triple whammy that works for me. So I actually have more energy to do stuff. I'm posting it today, the follow-up, the Craftsman tool cart. Well, I can't say Craftsman, but the rolling tool cart hacks or mods part two will be posted tonight. So I added to my tool cart.
It's going to be Go-Go Gadget tool cart there.
Yeah.
Somebody had mentioned getting two tool carts similar to that, like what you have, and then making a top across the two of them and making a workbench and then having the whole thing roll so the two ends have the drawers in them. And then there's an open space underneath, and then you just have a top that kind of, you know, covers whatever distance if you want it to be 4 feet or 6 feet or whatever it is. And I thought that was kind of a cool idea.
That was Rick.
Except was it?
Rick's problem is his office, like mine, the floor slopes. So he built it and then it started rolling across the room.
Nice. Very nice.
So he had to lock the wheels.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
Yeah. He is a patron. He's going to hear this. All right. So I should let you guys go. This is the work day.
It is. Thank you guys for the advice and the help. I appreciate it. I will keep you informed as to where the great tractor search goes from here.
I wrote up some notes. I'll send them to you so you can use them, along with some links to some stuff on Craigslist I found.
God, you're such a font of information. I appreciate it.
Oh,
that.
He's
Thank
like this
so
all
much.
The time, Aaron.
I know. I love it. It's fabulous. I get these emails from Will, and it's like, I'm here. I'm solving the world's problems, and here's how you do it right here in your email. I love it.
let's be honest, it's much easier to work with other people's problems than face your own.
That's a good point, isn't it?
I have a resort that opens in May, so I'm trying to delay it, okay?
All right, I'll see you guys.
I hope you have an easier spring with that resort than you did last year.
It's not going to be. I know it's not going to be. We can talk about this in the after show if you want.
It's all right. I got to go back to work. Thank you, Eric. Thanks, Will. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right. Bye, guys.
Okay, now it's working.
Okay.
I didn't have the podcast mic goes through a USB XLR USB box that costs more than the microphone. And I didn't have that plugged in.
Well, then that's the reason. You sound wonderful now. How are you?
I am wonderful.
Oh, good. Excellent.
I was thinking Will Wallace gave me this idea to offer the Garden Fork patrons a bonus podcast.
Uh-huh.
As another thank you. And I thought, actually, what we're talking about right now is kind of like behind the scenes. I thought I would offer that to them. So just behave yourself in this part of the show, okay?
I will. Is there anything you'd like to talk about today?
Well, actually, we could do the bonus. We could also do the bonus podcast after the fact. I have on the list the early start to the sap season, and I think that is related to the climate crisis. And,
yeah.
The rolling tool cart hack video I just put out, and you have two of these rolling carts. We could talk about that.
Okay.
And then we could talk about air conditioning. You got your air conditioning repaired?
Well, not repaired. We had a new one put in over the summer, and this was just the winter maintenance on it.
Oh, nothing too exciting.
Nothing too exciting. We could talk about how this weather is bee-killing weather.
Oh, geez.
Well, we don't have to, right. But I mean, this is what happens every year here.
No, well, we could talk about that with the sap season. So,
okay. Well, like I say, this could be the before, the after, or you can kind of combine the two together or something. I don't know.
Do you have anything nice to say to your, because you are a patron.
It's the Patreon system is absolutely amazing to me. You probably are going to be sad to hear this, but I actually support other people besides you. You're not my only Patreon that I support. And it makes me feel good every time one of these people, and I support maybe a dozen people, not much, $2 to $10 a month, depending on, and sometimes it's by the product. There's one guy at Literature and History, and he's doing this long series. I mean, he must be up to 100 series yet, and he hadn't even gotten up to close to the 1800s. But it's a wonderful podcast. It's terrific to listen to. He has great production values, and I pay him by the episode he puts out. So if he puts out two episodes a month, he gets twice as much. And they're really fascinating. And I've got a couple of artists that I support.
Told me about one of them there. I think she's in France.
Well, actually, she's here now. Oh. Her husband is in the French military, and she's back. They're back with NATO. And so we Yvonne is her name, and we see each other on fairly regular basis. And I have several of her original paintings and pieces that she's done here in the house now. And so I'm thrilled with her. I have some controversial people that I support, like Natalie Wynn at ContraPoints. I don't know. Do you know Natalie?
No, there's a weird sound in the back of your microphone, though. Were you banging the mic again?
No, I was not doing anything. Is it still there?
Oh, maybe it's a jet landing or something.
Oh, well, that's the Navy, just down the road. I cannot tell them to cease operations just because we have a podcast going on.
And your mic's running a little hot.
My mic's running a little hot. Where do I take care of that?
You can either move the microphone away from you or dial down the input.
What about this?
That's better.
Okay. That's better. I was going for the Sam Green sound, but I guess I'll...
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, that's enough of a bonus, I think.
Okay. for whatever. But I like supporting people that I respect their work and I want to support them and I enjoy the stuff they do, even if they don't draw a huge following.
Yeah.
So I love Patreon. It's easy to do and it makes a difference.
I've come to the realization, I didn't invent this idea, but I've heard about it on content creator topics, but cultivating a small but dedicated audience rather than trying to get a giant audience who's kind of half engaged.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think an enthusiastic audience makes all the difference.
Yeah. Well, it's, I just got, we have a viewer mail too from, Petra, who's in the Netherlands. So I'll read.
Oh, that. Okay. Is it in Dutch?
No, I don't know what language do they speak. Is their language called?
It's Dutch.
Dutch?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, we have a lot to talk about.
And I wasn't keeping track, so you'll have to guide the conversation. You want to do your intro?
Right. And, I want to talk about that LED light you got for me.
Oh, yeah. Are you enjoying it?
Well, I'll tell you all about it.
You're not enjoying it.
There's a story. Well, no, but there's a story to it.
Okay. I like stories. I like stories.
So, what do you think? I don't, I guess I could labor on it, but I can talk forever, as you know. But I was thinking, instead of having a fancy coffee, $5 a month for Garden Fork, that would really help. It would just help make things go along better. I'm not very good at the pitch. So let me know what you think. If you'd like to sign up for that, there's a link in the show notes here, or you can go to patreon.com/gardenfork. That's patreon.com/gardenfork. All right. Let me know what you think too. radio@gardenfork.tv. I always like to hear from you guys. So go out and do cool stuff. I'll talk to you later. Maybe I'll see you in the after show.